You're listening to Bitter Rivals.
We're on to championship weekend.
The road to Super Bowl 58?
That's what I was about to ask. I was like, there's no way he knows this. Yeah, it's 58, I think.
Yay!
Let's shout out Jeremy Sun.
Yeah, he's here.
I said we're on to championship weekend. It is championship weekend. We're recording late in the week this week again. Sorry, guys. At this point, we're at this point in the season. We're just getting these out for us. This is for us, guys. You're just along for the ride, all right? Jeremy started a new job. Congratulations, Jeremy. So a lot of work. So that's why we're recording late, right? We were trying to reacclimate, right?
Yeah. So we're here. We got situated. So hopefully, I mean, as far as I know, we could still do a lot of weekly things. So it was just me getting that first week in. And now we're good to go. Hopefully moving forward again.
So, it's championship weekend. There's not much football to talk about, like, as far as games go. But we can talk about any Seahawks news you have. You know, anything going on with them? You guys are the only team that hasn't hired somebody, right?
Let's see. We got Devin Witherspoon named finalist for
Defensive
Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Let's see. Not really much other than that of what I'm reading. I know on Wednesday roundup, Bobby Wagner joins Inside the NFL. Not much really. There's something I'm reading right now just on the headlines. It's a Seahawks roundup, some news they do on their own website for Friday roundup. Boye Mafe was named Seahawks secret superstar by Pro Football Focus. Not too sure what that is, but I know he had a really good year, and he's definitely someone that we're eyeing to keep, you know, long term. So these past 2 years for Mafe have been really good, so hopefully we get a little bit more out of him next year. And yeah, it's pretty much it.
So about this head coaching thing though, what's going on here?
I'm not entirely sure. I know we're kind of just waiting until these Super Bowl games happen.
I mean, at that point, it's a little, I mean, because all of the, I guess Vrabel's still out there, right?
Yeah, Vrabel's still out there. I'm not entirely sure if he's getting any interviews. Belichick is,
he can choose where he wants to work, basically.
He's kind of just, I think,
Belichick, though,
playing the field. I just don't know exactly what's going on, because I don't know if maybe Washington's offering him something and he's just waiting to see what we do, kind of thing.
I thought Washington offered someone a job already. Let me see.
No, I thought Seattle and Washington were the only two.
Oh, so those
left.
Are the only two.
Yeah,
okay.
Those are the only two.
I thought Seattle was the last man looking, you know what I mean?
No, it's Seattle and Washington. Yeah, Harbaugh.
Commanders clear another major hurdle in Ben Johnson quest. I think they want, it says, Ben Johnson as Washington Commanders head coach, pretty foregone conclusion. I think that they just can't really announce anything because he's playing in the Super Bowl. He's calling the Super Bowl, or the championship game. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of where, I don't think Seattle wants any kind of like news out there in regards to what happens, even if it does happen. I know,
those are the last two guys out there, Johnson and Vrabel, really, like, that are big name candidates.
I like I said earlier, I was talking, before we went on, we were talking, I mentioned, Mike McDonald from, Baltimore. I know he's someone that is, kind of out there, I guess, for us to want to interview. I don't know if they have already been in contact with him, but it is something that is a possibility.
I mean, you know, they're taking a chance with the lesser known guys, but sometimes those lesser known guys are, you know, end up being pretty good. Look at Sean McVay. Rams, I know we're looking for a new defensive coordinator. Raheem Morris got hired back by the Falcons. Remember, he was the interim after Dan Quinn got fired, and then he got let go the year after that. But, you know, it's going to be pretty big shoes to fill. He led a pretty competent defense with not a whole lot of, you know, won a Super Bowl, first of all. And then the last 2 years, the defense has been, you know, kept us in games when we shouldn't have been in them, when we're bad, when the offense was bad. I know it gets on the Rams fans' nerves, though, like the bend, don't break, like soft zone coverage stuff. You know, we gave up a ton of first drive touchdowns this year. That was a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, held a lot of teams under 20 points. You know, that says a lot with a defense that, you know, it's rostered by a bunch of people that a bunch of guys that people don't even know their names, right? Yeah. Besides Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, are they – so Rams – are they dialed in who they want to bring in, or
so they're bringing? They brought in
are brought up.
They brought in three guys for interviews. Brandon Staley was our defensive coordinator. We had the number one defense in the mm-hmm. league that year. He was only our DC for 1 year, but you know we had a really good defense under him. He went to coach the Chargers. I'm not sure about that. Did you see how stacked his defensive roster was? And he was like they're like ranked last in pass defense, and so I mean, was it just a fluke? He had prime Jalen Ramsey and prime Aaron Donald the year that he was our DC.
It's a possibility. I mean, when you become a head coach, you want to see at least what your coordinators are capable of. So
I think he was calling some defensive plays sometimes. I don't know. I mean, that roster was crazy. To be that bad at defense is a little alarming. So we brought him in for an interview. We brought in what's the DB's coach for the Ravens? He's coached the number one secondary in the league 2 years in a row. We brought him in, and we brought another defense. I don't know. I don't know what's going to go. I think we might go with the Ravens guy.
But yeah, I'm just kind of looking at some notes and stuff that I had saved up from this, obviously, head coach question with Seattle. As far as I know, when I brought up Mike McDaniel, despite not requesting a formal head coaching interview with him, the Seahawks have shown interest in Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDaniel for their head coaching vacancy. Depending on how the rest of the
coaching... Wait, his name is Mike McDaniel?
Mike McDonald.
McDonald. Okay, I was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, my bad.
There's a Mike McDaniels and a Mike McDaniel, and they both coach
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Mickey D's. Depending on how the rest of the coaching search goes, McDonald appears to be a name to watch. It's been almost 2 weeks since the last legitimate report that Seattle has had a level of interest in McDonald. So it's good to finally get an update with that there. The Seahawks are not able to request an interview until after the Ravens season is over. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on with Ben Johnson too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are trying to field a whole new coaching staff, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I know Shane Waldron's got interviewed for another OC job somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Basically said that... They were encouraged to look for jobs elsewhere, the coordinators in Seattle, right? After Pete's firing?
Yeah, or more or less firing and more of a,
that was a
redirection.
That was a firing. He treats it like he's got fired.
Yeah.
He wants to coach somewhere else. But, you know, it's just a safe face, I think. But
yeah, I mean, as far as I know, I haven't really been digging into any research in regards to, like, if he's looking or if he's being interviewed for anything.
Who, Carroll?
Yeah.
I think he's just going to lay low for the year.
I know there's like speculation he might want to possibly be the head coach for the Washington Huskies.
Oh, wow.
Just because they have a vacancy now. Because
yeah, he went to coach Alabama, right?
He went to Alabama, yeah. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure what that looks like, but I said it earlier in the year that I think the best thing for him to the position he's in, the age he is, and what he's good at, I think him being in our office is, you know, a win, at least in my eyes.
So around the league, Raheem Morris goes to Atlanta. Harbaugh leaves Michigan. He's going to coach the Chargers. Who else got here? Antonio Pierce gets extended as he takes the interim off that interim head coach.
Jared Mayo?
Gerard Mayo.
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, he's the Patriots coach. Titans, they got their guy, right?
Yeah. Who did they? I honestly
I forgot. I don't even know who they are. I don't even know who it is.
I don't know. I know the Falcons got... Raheem, right?
Raheem. He's off to Atlanta. Brian Callahan is the Titans coach right now.
And then Carolina, who did they get?
I don't know, actually. I think that, you know what? I think they don't have a coach either, do they?
No. As far as I know, it's just Washington and
that's
Seattle.
Like, because nobody wants to fucking work there.
Yeah. No, they have some.
Oh, no. They hired Dave Canales from the Buccaneers offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that owner seems like a real blowhard. He's got his hands too involved.
The worst thing about all these head coaching changes is I'm going to bring this up today and now is that next year we're going to see a mimic of the exact same thing we saw this year in regards to nobody having an identity, the Cowboys and the Eagles having a super easy.
Why? Because just all the new staffs?
It's going to be the same thing you guys saw this year, next year.
Well, you guys heard it here first.
Yes.
I don't know what I was doing, but you guys heard it here. That's another Jeremy prediction. He was on the streak this year, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Now, let's go to your actual pick six. Maybe that's why I was doing that.
And then,
all right.
To kind of keep going on that is that's probably exactly why the Cowboys are keeping McCarthy and Dan Quinn and everybody.
Continuity.
They're not cutting ties with anybody. They're just seeing what's going on in the league. Like, hey, there's a possibility next year we have the chance to kind of replicate what we did this year. Do we want to try and do it again? Yeah, let's do it. Because obviously all these other big teams like the Niners and the Lions, they're going to be losing, you know, key pieces to their
I wonder what the Lions are going to look at staff. Like after Ben Johnson leaves.
Yeah.
So, for 1 year.
Yeah, so that's what – if I'm them, that's what I'm thinking. Because, you know, even if the Niners go all the way or they don't, there's still going to be, you know, possibilities – players leave because they're not getting over the hump and they have no money to extend anybody or sign anybody.
I think the Lions are going to have a crazy, like one of those crazy, like wake up call seasons next year.
Yeah.
You hear it here first from me.
Because
Ben Johnson's going to leave.
Yeah. He's going to leave. And then the Packers are.
It's going to look like the Eagles.
It's going to flop from last year when the Packers let go of Aaron and then the Lions did bad and they didn't make the playoffs. And then this year is kind of a little bit of the same thing, but you know the Lions are going to be losing pivotal pieces to their coaching staff, and possibly if they don't go to the Super Bowl, they might be losing players because usually that's what happens.
Yeah.
And then you're going to
they're pretty young though.
Yeah, and then you're going to see the Packers, what good of end of the season they had this year, going into next year, players are going to want to play there, because you know they have tons of players on 4-year rookie contracts.
Yeah,
so look out for the Packers next year.
So let's talk about your divisional picks. You hit on 3 out of 4. Not bad. I mean, maybe we should just reduce the number to 4. 3 out of 4 looks a lot better than 3 out of 6.
Yeah, just go down to 3.
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
The only one you didn't hit was the Texans +9.5, right?
Yeah, I mean, even with that one, I think we were kind of just liked what we saw with CJ. We thought that game was good. Definitely could be something that could have went a little better, but I mean,
we were talking a lot about rust too, about the both number one seeds had rested starters and had the bye week.
Yeah, but I mean the Ravens just look good. That's
I know, but the Niners on the other hand, which you did hit Packers +9.5, they didn't look great.
No, they did not.
And
they barely won.
They barely won.
And I think the same thing's gonna
remember
happen.
Remember, I told you I'm not even gonna watch this game, and then the Packers were like fucking whipping their ass the whole time. I was like, I couldn't turn away, and then it got way tight at the end, and I was like, God damn it, I knew this was gonna happen.
If the Lions win, I'd be happy, but I'm not gonna be surprised, because the Niners it's just one of those things where if they get in, they're gonna lose again, and it's like, why are you gonna go in there and lose again? Like,
and they're gonna be missing Joe Thuney on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a big deal that is. I mean, when you're a heavy run team like that, I'm sure every offensive lineman counts, right? Like every starter. So you had Chiefs at Bills. You picked the Chiefs. That's another crazy one too. I mean, they went up into Buffalo and whooped their ass.
Hey, I needed that L to get more leverage on that trade that I talked about.
Josh Allen
getting traded to Seattle.
That ain't happening.
Anything could happen in this league.
Damn, they were trolling Stephon Diggs so bad with that. You know, remember that picture when he was watching the Chiefs celebrate? They put
It's been 4 years, he's still looking.
He posted him like 3 times, like watching the Chiefs win. Like watch. And they just like cloned him in there. It was funny.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are a good team. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel like those players that are there, you're not. You got to leave, man. Like. That team is cursed, and then like all the I don't know if you saw like any of the videos that the fans were making. Like I never knew that the Bills stadium was right next to like a cemetery of like
oh really
yeah there's like I and from what I what the fan thinks it is. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't do any research, but he's like, I'm pretty sure these are like, you know, like the indigenous or like Indians.
Really?
Like,
it's like, built on an Indian burial ground?
It is. That's why we can't win anything, because we're on an Indian burial ground. And they're building a new stadium for Buffalo, but I don't think it's gonna be ready for another year or two. For sure it's not gonna be ready next year, because it's still like basically dug up ground on a foundation. It's not even like no sort of nothing of the building is being built yet.
Oh my god, it's true. There is Bill's Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York was built on Western New York Wenrahoronan tribal burial grounds. The burial grounds are located under the stadium's parking lots. What the hell, bro?
Well, there you go, Buffalo.
When was the stadium built?
Oh no, it was when they lost four in a row. Yes,
this is why they lost four Super Bowls in a row. And this is why they can't fucking make it out of the damn AFC playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Oh, and the Chiefs are the ones that always beat them.
Mm.
Holy shit.
The irony of
they're fucked.
Yeah.
Why would you do that and then
leave now?
How come I've never heard of this? This is like, I'm not into like supernatural stuff that much, but this is the most plausible theory.
Yes, it is.
This is insane.
I know. When I heard about it, I was like, there's no way this is like real life.
They never saw Poltergeist?
Yeah, I know.
What the hell? Oh, shit. All right. So we kind of just glossed over that Packers at Niners game. Packers looked okay.
The Packers look great.
No, wait. Didn't they only have like two special teams, like touchdowns and then a field goal?
Who?
The Packers.
Or
was that the Bucks?
No, that was it. It's been a while, yeah. Obviously, since the game.
No, because Jordan Love had like two touchdowns in the first half, didn't he? I think it was the Bucks. The Bucks couldn't fucking score shit, right?
Yeah,
no,
the
wait.
Bucks couldn't.
I saw Mike Evans. You know what? I could be just completely. I'm not prepared at all, everybody, today. I could just be thinking about last weekend, the weekend before.
I'm not entirely sure, but the Packers look good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they could have won the game.
It came down
to
the wire. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to cut all that out. I sound like an idiot. Bucks at Lions, over 48.5. You got that.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked the Lions to win. So you had that. That was close until the end. The Lions kind of just pulled away. Baker, did you see that thing about Todd Bowles not calling the timeout?
No, even when I was watching the game, I was like, call timeout. Like, I was literally talking to the TV, like, why is he not calling a timeout right now? Like, even if you still have to play the game and do what you have to do, regardless of what can happen.
You could have he would have had, like 6 seconds left?
Yeah.
You could, Hail Mary, it's better than nothing. It's better than just surrendering.
Yeah, it made no sense to me. And they had two timeouts. They didn't have one. They had two.
And then he couldn't, so he could have gotten to field goal range and tied the game.
Yes.
Oh, my God, dude. But you know what? The fact that he couldn't own up to it in the interview, that's what's, he's like, yeah, you know, we just really didn't have a shot. That's kind of gross.
Yeah, and then and they want to, like, the whole season, like, oh, we want to bring Baker back. I was like, no, you don't.
I mean, Baker had a career year.
Yeah.
He threw for over 4,000 yards. He had, like, 24 touchdowns and, like, 10 picks.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
it might be more important to replace the head coach there. I don't know how you messed that up. I haven't watched a whole lot of Bucks games, but I know they're in a lot of close ones, and I bet it has to do with the coaching.
Well, sometimes they would have duds. There'd be games where like
they just don't score any. They'd
like 6 points or like 9 points. It's like, what happened to the 35 points he scored last week? So, they had an inconsistent year. They got lucky because that division is literal trash. Bunch of snickle frits in the division, like it's
yeah
sad.
That's true too. It's been a terrible division for years already, you know. So let's get on to championship weekend then. There's two games and then there's 2 weeks, but AFC is first, right? I think that's what's first in the day as far as
Chiefs versus Ravens, 12 p.m. 12:06 p.m.
We got to take the Ravens here.
I mean, the spread is 44.5. It's in Baltimore. I'm going to go on. For this game, I'm taking Baltimore, but I'm going to go under 44.5. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game. Both defenses are pretty good.
You're going to take the under?
Yeah, under 44.5. The spread on this is Baltimore minus 4.5. But if I'm betting, I want to take the under 44.5 because both defenses are really good. I don't think it's going to be some shootout. The Kadarius Toney is out, the best Kansas City
wide
receiver they have is out. But
I saw those memes.
Mark Andrews comes back. He's activated off the IR.
Oh, yeah.
So the Ravens are going to be literal wrecking force to be fucked with, and there's no way they're going to be taken out at home. Baltimore all the way, taking the under. It's going to be a defensive game. Prediction score, I think it's going to be 13 Kansas City to maybe 17 or 20 Baltimore.
All right. Now, I think I got to take the Ravens. Unless we see, like, for the Chiefs to win, they're just going to have to be so much Mahomes magic, right? Yeah. And the Ravens are playing out of their minds every goddamn week. Lamar's crazy. Yeah, I got to take that. I don't know about a low-scoring game. I think it might be go a little crazy. I think stuff might break down. I think the Ravens are going to have a day, I think.
Yeah, I don't see it going over 44. I think the Chiefs have a good enough defense and they're experienced enough to this game isn't going to go high. I think the opposite, though. I think the Niners and the Lions game might be a little bit higher than what we think because that one is over under 51.5. So
they're teams with a lot of things alike. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're both relying on the pass rush for the defense. They're both like some game management quarterbacks.
Checkdowns.
Yeah. So, it's like checkdowns or just like a receiver that could just get a lot of yak. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
the Debos. And
two
the,
great tight ends.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Niners do have the experience advantage, but their experience is always choking in this game. So we'll see.
I have this stat lined up. Jared Goff's last five games against the 49ers, he's 0-5.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. His first game with the Rams, or one of the games with the Rams, he went 0 TDs for 78 yards. Another game, he went 323 yards, 2 TDs, 1 interception.
See, but the context matters because two of those years he had no fucking O-line. You know what I mean?
Another game was 198 yards, 2 TDs, 1 interception. The last game as a Ram he had with them was 198 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And then when they played this year, it was a good game. This was 2021 with the Lions when he played 338 yards, 3 TDs, 1 touch, 1 interception.
I think that's the year we lost to the Packers in the divisional round or the wild card round. The last year, the last game against the Niners. He doesn't have a great record against the Niners. He was on the Rams, though, and the Rams just in general don't have a great record against the Niners.
Yeah.
Remember what I was saying? It still holds true what I was saying when the Rams were going to play him. If you get pressure on him, he's going to break down. The reason he did it against us is because we couldn't get any fucking pressure. Because they have a really good O-line, and we had a really, aside from Aaron Donald, we had a really inexperienced pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they have a good O-line, so it might be a wash at the end of the day. I'm hoping the Lions win. I'm pulling for Goff.
I swear to God, if it's the Chiefs and the Niners again, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Did you see that?
I'm not gonna watch the Super Bowl.
I saw something. It was like the Niners when they realize that they're either gonna lose to no matter who wins the AFC championship, it's a team that they lost to in a Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
That maybe, history repeats itself. I don't even want to take the chance for them to go. I hate them so much. So. You guys know that. I know it's like a trope at this point. I just can't stand that team. So did you give us a score prediction for that? What'd you say? You're taking the
for this
money line?
I don't know. Let's see what we got. We got minus.
Over. You're going to go over.
They're giving the Niners 7 points. The over and under is 51.5. Straight up.
51.5?
Well, you know what? No, I'm going to take the Lions plus 7.
Lions plus 7.
Because I think this is going to be a shootout, and I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to come down to the final play. Complete opposite with the Ravens. I think the Ravens are just on a roll right now. And even in the beginning of the season, I said Lamar is probably going to get a ring. This looks like his year.
And he was just waiting. That's why he sucked the last 2 years. He's waiting for them to pay him.
The window of opportunity is in his hands, and it's going to be hard with Kansas City. Probably next year going to be spending money on some players.
Fixing that wide receiver core.
So, you know, Josh Allen knew that the opportunity, the window to make it happen for the Super Bowl was very little. I think the Ravens, across the board, look like the most complete team this year. Not only with having an identity with their offense and defense, but the coaching staff as well with what Harbaugh has going on over there. They've just been playing really good. I don't see anybody beating them.
So you're taking the Lions +7.
Mm-hmm.
You have a score prediction?
For that one, I want to say it's going to be 24-26.
You realize what you're doing, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're reverse jinxing the Lions.
Yeah, 24-26.
24-26. Lions? 24-26 Niners.
Yeah, Niners.
All right, there you go. That's what I'm talking about here. All right, we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, by the time most people listen to this, the game's probably already happened.
Yeah, probably. But even then, like, it is what it is.
But
people like listening to listen.
We get to listen back and, like,
unless we drop hear it
how
tonight.
Dumb we were. I know. No, I'll put it up tonight. I'll put it up tonight.
But, yeah, I mean, that's my prediction. I think the Ravens, regardless of what happens, I mean, the Ravens are probably going to win the Super Bowl, more than likely. It's about 70% chance right now.
So we got one more episode. Maybe two, because maybe we do a Super Bowl recap after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we could do that. Or what are we entering? What month is it? February. Almost February. I think the NBA All-Star game is roughly mid-February.
Yeah.
And then after that is usually when the NBA starts getting really interesting.
So we come back after the All-Star break?
March Madness, month after that for college basketball. So, yeah, we could line up some stuff and play around with that. And then roughly the end of March is spring training for baseball.
We might need to bring on some additional guests for basketball because I'm not super well-versed in it right now.
Yeah, we could probably – I've already spoke with Kang and Ray. They said they were down, so we could maybe bring them in and have a little insight with them. Same thing with Mitch. Mitch was down. If we could give him some phone calls, or I let him know too. Like, he comes down from time to time. I was like, you know, whenever you come down, you want to grab on or hop on with us, you know.
Yeah, let's do it.
We got a chair and a mic for you.
We got like a 3-4 seater right here going around the table. We got a table. Like, we got two empty sides. We'll bring these guys in. We'll talk about basketball, baseball, whatever. But yeah, so this episode's 30 minutes. Kind of short, but there's only two games.
Yeah. Season's nearing to an end.
Any closing thoughts on this conference championship look ahead episode?
Hot take. Preview. Not hot take, but bold prediction. Brock Purdy gets injured again on the first drive.
Holy shit. You're cold-blooded, dude.
Sorry about it.
Cold-blooded. Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's my...
Dude, we're never going to have another Niners listener again if that comes true.
Hey, man. History has a weird way of repeating itself. That's what Mitch says.
All right, then. We'll see you guys next week. We'll see how dumb we sound next week. Yeah. But, you know, looking forward to it. Jeremy.
Richie.
Peace.
Later.
Oh, my God. I can't believe. Oh, wait.
You're listening to Bitter Rivals.